Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
I want to start off this morning sharing with you about my first experience seeing the Grand Canyon in person. All right? My first experience ever viewing the Grand Canyon in person. There are very few moments in my life where Joe Case has felt speechless. I always have an answer for everything. Can you imagine living with Pastor Vicki and I and listening to what that sounds like all the time? I think I might have told some of you this story before. We like to do things differently when we go on vacation. It was 2006. I was graduating for my master's degree from Northwest Nazarene University in Idaho. And instead of just going to Boise, I told Pastor Vicki, I was like, hey, if we're going to be all the way out there, let's just hop down to Arizona and let's go see the Grand Canyon because we'd never seen it before. And so we like to do things differently. So we entered the Grand Canyon from the east. Most people come from the south, from Flagstaff, and they come into the Canyon Village, and the touristy kind of crowds are right there on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, but not the Cases. We do everything differently. And we went out to the eastern edge. We stayed on an Indian reservation. That's where our hotel was. A little Indian reservation out in the Painted Desert. And then we drove in from the Painted Desert east or west into towards the Grand Canyon. And to get to the Grand Canyon from the parking lot where we finally arrived, I thought this was really interesting. You couldn't see the Grand Canyon from the parking lot. There was a big hill there covered in forest. And so we had to park our car and we actually had to trudge uphill. We had to walk uphill, and I'm like, where's the Grand Canyon? Because this looks like a forest from anywhere. It was odd. And very unlike my Brady Bunch education about what the Grand Canyon should have been like, too, because the Brady Bunch went to the Grand Canyon, and I had all of that in my mind, but it was nothing like that. And so we find ourselves traipsing through a forest. Fir trees, pine trees, pine cones on the ground. It was just very, very interesting. Didn't look like anything we have around here. And then all of a sudden we got to the crest of this hill and we started going down through the forest and the trees started thinning out and the panorama opens up and in front of us lay the Grand Canyon. This view right here. And the only words, and I've got this on video, I was going to try to track down the video, but I just didn't have time to do it this week. But I have my video camera going back in the day, and on the video camera, on the tape, the only words that could come out of my mouth were a very sincere, oh my God. It was just, pictures don't do the Grand Canyon justice. If you see pictures of the Grand Canyon, you just can't imagine in 3D, in real life, what this is like. And my response was, oh my God. OMG. Right? That's the catchphrase these days. That's the slang for oh my God. And I wasn't using the Lord's name in vain at that moment in time. I was expressing from the bottom of my heart a very sincere sense of awe, a very sincere sense of wonder, a very sincere sense of worship. And it was in that awesome view of creation in that moment, that wasn't just any moment, me on vacation, that became a holy moment in my life. I remember it like it was yesterday, right now, this morning. I thought it was very interesting that nature pointed me to the maker. You see there? The creation pointed me to the creator in a very, very powerful way. The beauty and wonder of the Grand Canyon landscape, it enhanced my ability to meditate on the presence of God. And I'm telling you, more than once that week, as Pastor Vicki and I toured up and down the southern rim of the Grand Canyon, more than once that week, we both expressed to each other that we felt like we were in church, that this is better than being in church. We had wonderful worship this morning, wonderful singing, but there was just something about being on the rim of the Grand Canyon and feeling so small in the midst of God's immense, massive, creative handiwork that we were just left in wonder. Well, King David, I want to talk about King David this morning from the Old Testament of our Bible. He knew something about biblical meditation. King David knew something about biblical meditation. And we're going to let him teach us this morning a thing or two about leveraging nature to help us learn how to meditate in God's presence in new and fresh ways in our lives. Biblical meditation is one of the ways that God wants to help break the mold of this world and transform us by the renewing of our minds. Did you know that? Biblical meditation, it's not just for pastors. Biblical meditation isn't just something that monks go out in the desert do. All disciples of Jesus are called to meditate on the Bible. Biblical meditation, it's one of God's tools that he uses to reshape and renew. Or remember, our minds have been conformed to the patterns of this world. And we're talking about reshaping, renewing our minds. And at Maplewood, we are laser focused this year on what it takes to be remade into the image of Jesus Christ. I hope you haven't missed that. We've been focused on what does it take to be remade in the image of Christ, and we've been confronting lies that we tell ourselves that keep us from growing, and now we're focusing on something else. We're focusing on the need to be having our minds renewed, our minds remade. It is God's will for you to be transformed into a new creation. Put off your old self and put on your new self is the way the Apostle Paul puts it. Part of that comes in the form of repentance. You stop sinning. You stop living in the ways that God doesn't want you to live, and you turn around, right? We talked about repentance. It's just go the other way. Do the opposite thing that you've been doing. We need to repent. But being transformed into new creations also comes from relearning how to think. Your mind has been conformed to the ways of this world. Our minds get so conformed to the ways of this world that we become obsessed with things that depress us. We become obsessed with things that frustrate us. We become obsessed with things that keep us up at night. We become obsessed with things that will never satisfy us. We become obsessed with things that distract us from the main thing, which is our relationship with God. Are you distracted this morning? What's distracting you? It's really easy to be distracted. I'll be really honest. I'm kind of distracted this morning. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, I've got to pray for your pastor. I've got to travel for work. I'll be out in Phoenix all this week. Oh, poor pastor. But that trip's a distraction because I've got a lot of stuff going on here that I need to be attentive to also in my life. But I'm going to be out of town. But we get obsessed with things that distract us and pull us away and conform our minds to this world. We need God to come in and break the jello mold. Amen? Amen? Remember the jello mold that's conforming our minds. We need God to come in and break that jello mold that's been conforming us to the patterns of this world and constraining us from being able to grow up in Christ. And one of the ways God wants to draw you deeper into a relationship with, deeper than you've ever gone before in your life, is to teach you on how to meditate on things above. How to meditate on things above. Before he was king, David was a shepherd. Before he was a king, David was a shepherd. Shepherds spend a lot of time outdoors. Do you know that? That's where the sheep are. Shepherds spend a lot of time outdoors, and David observed nature, spending a lot of time outdoors. He observed nature, and in turn, nature pointed him towards God. Don't miss the opportunity. All this stuff outdoors, it's an opportunity to point you towards God. And you know how we know that David did this? Because David wrote down his observations and his meditations, and you and I today call them the Psalms. Yeah, we call them the Psalms. David journaled about his meditations by writing songs. He was a musician. He liked to write music, and that's what he did while he was out tending sheep. I'm certain David had a lot of time to think as a shepherd. I'm certain that he did, so much so that he contemplated his job of watching the sheep, just his everyday actions, his job of watching the sheep, and he began to understand God's role in relationship to each of us. And I want to take a couple of moments to look at a couple of David's Psalms this morning to show you how he used nature, his surroundings, just where he was, to meditate on the Father this morning. You're like, why is this important, Pastor? You need it to feed your soul, church. We're suffocating. If we're not meditating on the Word, we're not getting the spiritual oxygen we need. And there's opportunity. God provides opportunity all around us to meditate on Him and to breathe new life into our souls. He began to understand the role of the best shepherd as he shepherded the sheep. And in Psalm 23, he wrote it down. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David's meditation out in nature, doing his job as a shepherd, provides us with one of the most meaningful and most recognized passages in all of Scripture. And it helps us. It's a passage that helps us in moments of transition. It's a passage that helps us in moments of crisis. There's a reason this passage is read so frequently at funerals, because it is so deeply meaningful and it touches our souls. I'm positive that David, as a shepherd, he also spent many days and many nights out in the countryside in the midst of the rain. It wasn't always sunny. When you didn't have an option when you were a shepherd to just go and take the sheep out when it was nice. You were out there when it was 75 degrees and sunny, and you were out there when it was 32 degrees and snowing, or even colder than that, or raining, the wind blowing. And in Psalm 29, he writes about the rain and the wind and the violent storms. He says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor, in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God, the God of glory, thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace after the storm passes by. That's an incredible, I can just tell he wrote that in the middle of a big thunderstorm. Lightning, floods, wind, rain, thunder crashing all over the place. Do you see how his meditation on the storm led him to praise and worship and understand who God is? I'm positive he spent many early mornings watching the sun rise and many late nights watching the sun go down. Psalm 19, another one of his journal entries, another song that he wrote, six verses. "The heavens declare the glory of the God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Meditation on sunrise, meditation on sunset. Can you see how those beautiful sights led him into an understanding of who God is, God's power and God's supremacy? And I'm positive after the sun went down and many a night he sat under a camp under the stars in a campfire. Probably had others with him too, but he spent a lot of nights out looking at the stars. Anybody like to look at the stars? And I tell you what, recently in the West you've seen Jupiter and Venus every night at sunset. They're getting closer and closer together. And it's I've seen more comments, people saying, what's going on? What is that? But it's the two of the planets in our solar system are getting closer together. David spent many crystal clear evenings looking at the stars, and he wrote about it in Psalm 8. Another journal entry here. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. Amen. Do you see here what I'm saying, friends? It's reading time with Pastor Joe. It feels like a little bit, doesn't it? Meditating on nature helped David, the shepherd, not only understand who God was and who God is, it gave David perspective. Meditating on nature gives him perspective to understand who he is, where humanity stands in the order of things, and to understand God's love and concern for each and every one of us, each and every component of his creation. God loves you, and we see God's love for us when we look at nature. David's method of meditation on God through nature helped him in several ways. It reminded him of God. Do you need reminded of God sometimes? Do you get so busy in your life that you even forget that God's there? Do we get so consumed with the circumstances of our day that we forget that we walk as disciples of Jesus in the presence of the Holy Spirit every day? It reminds us that God's there with us. Just the sun shining in the sky or the wind blowing, beating against our house reminds us of the presence of God. Nature motivated David to worship. You know, when we're confronted with the raw power of nature, it is awe-inspiring. It is like you stand in front of the Grand Canyon for the first time. The only thing that can come out of your mouth is words of worship. Not words in vain, but words of worship. That's why I like to go to the mountains for vacation, because it gives me perspective. I feel closer to God when I'm in the mountains. Some of you are nodding your heads and you know exactly what I'm saying. Some of you go to the ocean because you feel closer to God when you're in front of that vast, awe-inspiring body of water. It motivated him to worship. Nature helped him to understand his role in life. It gave him perspective. We're seeking meaning in our life. Where is the meaning in all of this? Meditating on God through nature helps us understand our role in life. And it allows us to fellowship with God. Amen? It allows us to fellowship with God. We can walk with Jesus in nature in ways that we can't when we're just sitting here in the sanctuary listening to the pastor. I tell you about my little walks with my puppy dog. I have more worship time with my puppy than many, many other times when I'm trying to worship God. Are you seeing how taking the time and making the time to meditate on nature and on God, it can help us relearn how to think? We need to relearn how to think. This week, instead of obsessing about the things that are keeping you up at night, I want to challenge you again. It's the second Sunday of Lent. I want to challenge you, spend some time outdoors this week. Melanie, no problem, Pastor. But don't just go out to get your vitamin D. Spend some time outdoors, quietly, by yourself, meditating on the presence of God. Set the timer on your phone. There's a timer on there. 15 minutes. Spend some time with God, meditating on nature this week. That's your assignment. You don't have to go to the Grand Canyon to have OMG moments with God. You don't have to go to the ocean. You don't have to go to the Smokies to have an OMG moment. Take in a sunrise. Set your alarm clock so that you can take in a sunrise. Or set your clock so you can take in the sunset and spend some time with the Lord. Take some time to watch the birds. You know what? Bird, you can only watch birds when you take the time to be still. Even if you're not still, indoors watching through a window, a bird will not come up because they're kind of freaked out by motion. They think you're going to get them. But if you're still, it's amazing what happens when you're still. On a clear night this week, go out, take in the stars, be in God's presence, and don't just stand there and look. Worship. Take some time to be silent, to reflect. I would encourage you to write down your thoughts. I'd also encourage you to share with someone else your experience as you meditate in God's presence outdoors in nature. Do you want to go deeper with Jesus than you ever have before in your life? Get in the Word. Get into nature. Get into God's presence. Ask Him to open your eyes through nature. Jesus sets this example, folks. I love Jesus because Jesus doesn't ask us anything to do He wouldn't do Himself. Totally. From the bottom up, Jesus is a servant leader. Jesus, like David, He spent a ton of time outdoors. He was an itinerant preacher. He spent a lot of His time. He did not have a house. He did not have an apartment. He did not have a condo. He did not have a car. He was an itinerant preacher, and Pastor Vicky had the map up there, and he traveled all over the countryside, preaching and teaching, healing and helping people. Many of His parables that He tells are related to nature. You know, He talks about trees, and He talks about animals, and He talks about farmers. Many of His parables are related directly to the world in which He found Himself on those trails He was walking every day with His disciples. Jesus sets the example, folks. I'm not telling you to do anything that Jesus hasn't already demonstrated for us. Is your spiritual life dry? Do you feel hollow? Do you feel empty? It's time to meditate on the Word. It's time to get into the Lord. How much time are you investing in the Word? Jesus invested His time, His own time, to be with God. Outdoors, as He was going along. Jesus invested His time. Jesus invested His attention. Remember last week? We got to invest our time. We got to invest our attention to observe and to wander. We don't give ourselves enough time these days to wander. We're all so stuck to screens. You know, where these beautiful things happen all around us all the time. And here we are, you know, and we're getting freaked out by what we see and hear. Our obsession is here on this screen, and we're scrolling and scrolling. Beauty's happening. Beautiful moments are happening all around us. And we're missing it, folks, because we're distracted by all this technology. We're missing it. Jesus invested His attention to observe, and He gave Himself permission not to wander around, but to wander in creation. To wander. Jesus intentionally invested Himself so that He could grow closer to the Father, to anchor Himself in the Creator. Okay? I want you to see this isn't just doing something to do something. There's a point to why we need to spend time with the Lord individually in our lives on a regular basis. We got to break the mold. We've got to break the jello mold, church, if we're going to grow in Christ. Jesus got away from the people and He meditated in the presence of the Lord because Jesus knew that He needed to anchor Himself in the presence of God in His life. He needed to anchor. He needed to drive that nail into that anchor into the ground so that when the wind started blowing and He knew what was coming, folks, He had to anchor himself in the presence of the Father so that he could remain faithful when the winds started blowing in his life. Because you see, when the winds blow in our life, the devil comes and he tries to tempt us and he tries to knock us over or knock us away, pull us out of the grace of Jesus Christ, to give up on Jesus. We need to anchor ourselves. And you can't just do that by coming to church on Sunday morning once every 7 days. Amen. It's not enough. If that defines your spiritual discipline or your spiritual rule, just coming to church once every 7 days, thank God you are here. But friends, I'm here to tell you as your pastor, if that's all you got, keeping you anchored to the Lord, when the winds blow, you are at risk of being blown away. We have to make this a part of who we are. We have to get into the Word. Jesus did it. We have to anchor ourselves. Meditation anchors us. Biblical meditation anchors us in God's presence, church. If we're not regularly meditating and anchoring ourselves to Him, we could be blown away when the trials come. You know what? I've seen many of you face trials. The winds have blown hard, and I've seen so many of you be able to say that the anchor holds in the midst of the storm. I want all of your testimony to be able to be, when the wind blows, that the anchor holds. Jeff sings that song so beautifully. The anchor holds. That's my prayer for my church. That's my prayer for my flock. I want you to be grounded. I want you to be anchored in the Lord for those times when the wind blows. And guess what? We need to anchor ourselves in Jesus. As followers of Jesus, we need to anchor ourselves in His presence. And yes, sometimes it takes work. Sometimes it's hard to anchor ourselves in Jesus. Sometimes when we get to the parking lot and we think we're going to see the Grand Canyon, we've got to walk uphill first. We've got to work our way through the forest. We've got to work our way through the forest and get through that mess before we can actually get into His presence. Anchoring ourselves in Jesus, sometimes it takes a little effort. We like drive-by Jesus. You know, I think some of you would love if we just put a drive-through around the church right here and right here. I could just stand here every Sunday morning and I could just open this up. And you could drive by, and I could just open the window, and I could just hold, I could just hand you your Jesus and some fries and a Coke. Don't you think that would be good? And you could just drive by, and you could get out of here. Can't you see how that would work? It'd be a whole new ministry. Drive through Jesus. It doesn't work that way. You didn't expect that, did you? Anchoring ourselves in Jesus takes work. And I just want to be really clear this morning. It requires the prerequisite for being able to anchor ourselves in Jesus is we have to make a once and for all decision for Jesus in our lives. Because, you know, there's a lot of people trying to anchor themselves in Jesus and they haven't even committed themselves to Jesus yet. They want the benefit, but they don't want to surrender to His authority in their lives, and they get frustrated, and you're at risk of being blown away, and it requires this once for all decision to stake all of our future in our faith in Him. That's the first thing. We've got to commit our hearts to Jesus first and foremost, and after we do make that once for all decision, which many of you have, and I'm thankful for, but I want you to realize that to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, then means we've got to follow Him. It takes work. It takes intention in our life. It requires making that decision, and then it takes a daily walk. It takes a daily walk with Jesus, steeped in His presence and in nature in order to stay anchored to Him. You can make that once-for-all decision and then walk away from it. That wasn't a once-for-all decision. We've got to choose to stay with Him. We've got to anchor ourselves in Jesus every single day. We need to have more OMG moments in our spiritual walk with Jesus so that when the world throws OMG crises at us, we are firmly grounded and will not be blown away with the tide. Amen. And my question for you is, when was the last time you had an OMG moment with your Savior? Beautiful. When was the last time you really had one of those moments with the Lord? Take time, church. I'm as your pastor. Pastor, I don't really want to walk uphill. And I'm just going to tell you, that's the way to the master. That's the way to the peace you're looking for. I really don't want to make the effort, pastor. That's the way to the power that you're seeking. Pastor, that hill's awful steep. That's the way to the love and acceptance and the meaning that you're looking for in your life. It takes work some of the time, church. Take the time. Make the time to meditate with God and His creation this week. Allow God to renew your mind through the power of His Holy Spirit. Be remade, but don't put the cart before the horse. You know, we want to anchor ourselves in Jesus, but we don't want to commit ourselves to Jesus. I like all the benefit with none of the cost. Please. I'm just here to tell you, you're never really going to get to connect with God through any type of meditation in the Bible if there's sin or something in your heart that's unsurrendered. I call it unfinished business. If you've got unfinished business, and guess what? This can happen to people who've been walking with the Lord for years. Things can creep into our lives. We're human. There's no failure in this. There's the only failure is not allowing Jesus to have it and not coming back to the Lord. I want you to know that there's freedom and being honest that sometimes we need to reset so that we can be remade and go deeper with Jesus, ever deeper, more than we've ever gone before. Sin short circuits our meditation, folks. If you're like, this isn't working, I would encourage you, Lord, this is another psalm that David wrote, I believe. Lord, search my heart, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. Yes, another psalm, right? Psalm 139. This morning is a great opportunity at Maplewood to begin the process of being remade. Take your 15 minutes a day this week. Go out, be in nature. But folks, if there's unfinished business that's short-circuiting your relationship with God, there's no shame in resetting things right here, right now, this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.